God for Jesus this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to worship you, to honor you, to acknowledge that you are God. Oh, God, thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. Thank you, God, for your gracious kindness that you have shown us in Jesus Christ and that you constantly show us. Thank you, God, that you don't give up on us. Thank you, Father, that you don't have a mind that changes all the time. We thank you, God. Oh, God, that your will and your word have been established from eternity. Nothing's changing about you. God, help us to embrace you as God, as the Most High, as the Most Holy One. Trust you above all else and everyone. Father, we pray that your word in this place today would be alive and powerful, that your word would impact us in such a way, God, that we would be changed by your word. God, visit these hearts of ours. Talk to us, God. You know what's in us. We don't know, but you know what's in us. God, you know what things need to be fixed. You know what things need to be restored. God, you know what's broken. And you know where all the broken pieces lie. Oh, God, minister to us today, God. In the name of Jesus. Help us to hear you. Help us to believe you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This Bible, Genesis to Revelation, all 66 books, is God's written word to his man. God himself is the author of the book. I know we give Paul credit. We give Moses credit. We give Jeremiah credit. But God is the author of this book. He spoke to men and had men to write to us. Over 1500 years, God used man to write his word and his will to us, showing us who he is, showing us who we are in him, and how he made us to be like him. 1500 years, God used. Sometimes we say 35 different authors. Sometimes we say 40 different authors. 35 are named, but we kind of think there were some other people that are involved, so we say 40. But it doesn't matter. It's still God talking. That's what's important. It's God speaking to us, speaking his desire toward us and what he wants for us. And he really wants the best for every one of us. We don't always experience the best. We experience brokenness in life. We have trouble in life. Death comes. All kinds of horrible things happen. But that's not God's best. If we had only obeyed in the garden, we wouldn't know anything about death. We wouldn't know anything about heartache. But we didn't obey. So let's get over the fact that we didn't. And so God sent Jesus to fix us. Amen. He came to fix everything that's broken. He came to fix everything out of order. I was thinking about this as I looked, as I looked at the scripture that I'm about to read. And I thought about, if we believe God the way we're supposed to, then we will trust that his word is right. How much we honor God and how much we consider that God is God, that he is the creator, that he is the maker, that he is almighty God, that there is none above him, no one who sits as high as him. If we actually believe that the Lord is God, then we will consider his word in the right light. We will believe that if God said it, it's the truth, because God has declared in his word that he cannot lie. God has promised us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. God has sworn by himself that he will bless and he will multiply us. God has said to us that he has sealed us by the power of the Holy Ghost, and that all we need is found in Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, everything that we need. And so if we believe God, we will take him at his word. And as we navigate through life, we will always remember that no matter what I encounter, God wants the best for me. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17, I pause for this reason, because I'm considering reading the whole chapter. Since we are living in the last times, that's what I'm going to do, because it starts out talking to us about these last days, okay? So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read the whole chapter, though I'm going to be keying in on verse 16 and 17. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, ooh-wee, what a list, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God. All scripture is breathed out by God. Man is not responsible for any of the written word except they wrote it down. The thoughts, the plans, the instruction, the direction, the teaching, all comes from God himself. When we sit down and we look at the scriptures, we look at them as if this is God speaking to me, the person. All scripture is breathed by our God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God, and that word is not just, it's not male or female, it's mankind, that mankind may be complete, equipped for every good work. How much we reverence God will determine how much we believe his word and how much we will take his word to heart and believe that this is God speaking to me. If I believe this is how God is speaking to me, then it's going to affect how I live my life. If I believe that this Bible, these scriptures, Genesis to Revelation, if I believe that this is God's word and God is speaking to me, if I believe that this is God's plans, God's design for life, then I will live my life that way. That's the way we're all supposed to look at it. We're supposed to approach the Bible as if this is God speaking to me. Sometimes we'll say, Paul said, Paul did write it, but he didn't say it. We'll say Peter said, he did write it, but it's really God talking to us. Does God use their experiences to influence us? Yes, he does use their experiences, but it's him deciding which experience they're going to share. It's him deciding which experience he's going to use as a testimony to you and me of the power of God. But always consider, it's God talking to me. Sometimes we look at the word and think, is God talking way back there to them? Has nothing to do with today, especially since we live so raggedy today. And that's why I went ahead and read, We live in a world looking like just like the beginning of this chapter. We live in a world where people are disobedient, people are selfish, people are greedy. People are, it's me, myself, and no more. And we've even brought that mess into the church. I'm living my best life. This is about me now. I'm not thinking about anybody else. You don't have a best life apart from Jesus. You don't have a life at all apart from Jesus. If God didn't ordain your activities, if God didn't ordain the things that you're doing in life, then it's mess and it's killing you. It's mess and it's separating you further and further away from God. This year, let's begin believing that God's word is for me. Let's begin believing that God has a word that's going to bring healing to my life, healing to my family. Let's believe that God's word is going to deliver me from those things that have had me bound, those things that have had me broken. Let's believe this year that God is going to speak to us in such a way that we'll come out of holes and places where we've been stuck forever. That God is going to heal that bitterness and that unforgiveness that keeps holding on to people. Things that won't let you go. Things that make you think that you're invaluable rather than precious in the sight of God. Let's believe that God wants you to see you the way he sees you. And that's precious. God does not know anybody that he does not want to save. God does not know anybody that he does not want to heal. God does not know anybody that he does not want to really live what is the best life. Let's start believing. Let's start the year believing God wants the best for me. Say, God wants the best for me. Because God does. The word is of no private interpretation, Peter says. But it's God's word that he spoke through men to us. And so as we read this word today, we see that God has the word and all scripture. He has the word for every one of our lives and all scripture, not just some of it. The parts that we think are really hard, the part that we feel like is really against me. It's not against you. It's against your flesh. It's not against your soul. It's for your soul. And it will condemn your flesh, but it won't hurt your soul. Because your soul, Jesus came to save. Amen? Amen. And so in verse 16, Paul writes to Timothy, by the Spirit, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, will benefit for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or the person of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so when I started to look at this first, I looked at this and I thought, okay, the word of God is good for doctrine. It's good for informing us, instruction for life. And I thought about how my husband and I used to travel all the time with our children. With the AAA roadmaps, now everything is digital. But we had those, you had a book for each section of that trip. I remember the longest trip we took was to California. And we went one way and we came back another way. We went Route 66 one way and we came back another way. The trip took us almost 3 weeks. And so Mike had a book for every leg of that trip. And he would have that map open on that steering wheel while he was driving. And I'd be fussing and he'd be saying, hush girl, shut up girl. But we would be driving all the way with those maps. And so as we've traveled from coast to coast with our children, and we went all the way to Mexico, and we went all the way to Canada with them kids, we always traveled with those kids, but we went nowhere without that triple A map. We didn't go anywhere without it. The map showed us how to get to go places that we had never gone, on roads that we had never traveled, and on roads that we never knew existed. Not only that, but we were given the best routes to travel. As far as distance was concerned, as far as safety was concerned. When we followed those maps, we didn't get into any trouble. It was when we would veer off and we would decide to do something other than what the map said that we would get into trouble. And so one night we veered off because Mike decided that day he knew best. He wasn't going to use the map. Then his brother had told us, when you get to Utah, he said, they're very prejudiced in that area, and so there are certain places that you're not going to be able to stay. Now, mind you, we're traveling in late 60s, early 70s, and so he said, there are places that you're not going to be able to stay. He said, so at a certain time of the day, when you get to a certain place in Utah, you need to start finding a place to put up, or you need to make arrangements ahead of time. Well, he didn't want to make arrangements ahead of time because that was too binding for him. He wanted to go at his own pace, and so he decided not to do it. Well, we got all the way up there into Utah. In July, there's snow up there in those mountains. My kids have on shorts and halters. My little baby boy didn't have any shoes on his feet. I had to put shoes on his feet. And we're traveling and we're going from place to place. And the vacancy sign outside said vacancy. But when he went in, it became no vacancy. And so this happened all evening into the night, about midnight, 1 o'clock. We gave up and we slept on a snow-capped mountain with our four kids. And me mad. Because his brother had warned us. AAA had told us. Because AAA was very informative. They always had a narrative for every area where you were going to go. There was a narrative. So you kind of had an idea of what you should and what you should not do. Where you should stay and where you should not stay. And we didn't pay attention. We didn't pay attention. We did what we wanted to do. So we ended up on a snow-capped mountain. When daylight came, now we got to start traveling again with our babies. Of course, they're hungry. They're restless. The little baby, he liked to eat all the time. All the time. The little baby. I won't call his name. M-A-R-C-U-S. Won't call his name. The little baby liked to eat all the time. And so we had a really terrible day until we got out of those mountains and found some place to feed our children. And once we fed our children, they settled down. But we were supposed to go to Yellowstone Park. So we were on our way to Yellowstone Park. And when we get to the park, well, it's late in the afternoon. It's almost 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Got to bathe my children because they haven't had a bath. And we got to feed them and we got to do all this stuff. And we finally get all that done. Well, we're supposed to be at the campfire that night with the ranger. We had arranged that. Well, we weren't going to be at the campfire with the ranger that night. It was chilly out. And so we just kept the kids in. And so we all went to bed because we were all tired. Then I hear somebody crying in the night. And I won't call that name either. Somebody crying. And just crying. And the one sister said to the other sister, why are you crying? I didn't eat my dinner. You didn't eat your dinner. We all ate. We all had pork and beans and wieners. We ate. So I get up and I say, what is wrong with you? I ain't eat my dinner. Yes, you did. We all ate. No, I didn't. That was lunch. Well, here was the deal. 3 meals a day or nothing. They hadn't had but 2 meals that day. REGINA. I'm not going to say a name. Had to have 3 meals or she wasn't going to sleep. Girl, you better go to sleep before I hurt you. All you going to have to eat today, you done had it. She was so mad because she hadn't had her lunch. So we had all kinds of little things going on that shouldn't have been going on if we had followed the map. If we had stayed on course, we would have gotten to where we were going when we were supposed to. She would have had her lunch if we had done what we were supposed to. Sometimes it's not the big things, but it's the little things when we get off course. We need to stay with the roadmap. Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Hallelujah. And a light unto my pathway. The word helps us know where to go, how to go, when to move, when not to move. They're dangerous places for us in life. God tells us how to stay away from the dangers. When I read the first part of this chapter, it showed us what things and what ways of living could be dangerous for us. God says, I'm giving you a word to keep you from those things that will hurt you, those things that will harm you. God wants the best for you in 2026. There are things that we did this past year that we don't have to repeat. There are things that we got ourselves into, attitudes that we had, things that we said, places that we went, things that we did that we don't have to do this time if we will simply believe God. He that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Can you hear what I'm saying? Those roadmaps even told us what the climate was going to be in some places. Told us what the weather would be. Told us how to dress for those occasions. How to be what we needed to be. Helped us to go around things that would be problematic for us. And the word of God is that same way for us. When I think about what God said about us believing him, the idea is that God wants us to get where he is sending us, where he is taking us, and he wants us to get there the best way possible. AAA was helping us get to California the best way possible. Showed us where to stay and where not to stay. And you know, and then they gave us instructions according to your budget. We could only stay at certain hotels because of our money and our 4 babies. And so we would stay in those places. And so there was a string of hotels that had a restaurant connected to it. And so our kids ate at that restaurant every day. And the little fellow who was still in diapers was able to recognize when we would pass one on the highway. And he would go, eat. He didn't say sleep. He said, eat. Now we slept at the hotel and we ate at the restaurant. And every time he saw a Tasty World, he went, eat. He wasn't even 2 yet. But I told you he ate all the time. He ate all the time. And so it gave us what we needed and what we could afford and where we needed to stop so that we could feed our children. God has a map for your life. God has a path for your life. David said, teach me your ways and show me your paths. There is a route for your life. There is a way for you to live. Even with the mess ups that we've had, there is a way that God is rerouting us so that the best will happen from this time forward. God didn't say that trouble won't come, because it will come. But God has a way for you. God has a way for me that will help us be overcomers no matter what we encounter in life. There is a road map. There is instruction for your life. There is instruction for your marriage. There is instruction for your job. There is instruction for your family. There's instruction for you in this world in which we live. There's instruction for you. There's instruction as far as your enemy is concerned. The scripture says, love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. That's not easy. That's not easy. But if God said do it, then he knows what's best for you. He does know what's best for you. You know, the other day when somebody was talking about the things that were going on in on their job, what came to mind was when I started to work in the radiology department at the VA hospital. And I guess they had heard that I was the church lady. And I was a church lady because I had a Bible study in the chapel at the hospital. And so I was considered the church lady at the hospital. And so the radiology technicians decided one day they were going to attack the church lady. And so I came up the steps. I'm just getting to work. And the tiniest thing in there, I mean tiny, tiny, just tiny, tiny little person, was standing at the top of the steps with her hands on her hip and said to me, I'm walking up the steps. I just said goodbye to my friend that was going up higher. And the tiniest thing put her hand on her hip and said to me, ain't nobody that happy every day. What you on? I said, Jesus. Jesus don't make nobody that happy every day. And I said, well, I can tell you don't know him because you're talking like that. I know him and I know that he can give me peace every day. Because I was smiling and because I had a right attitude didn't mean my life wasn't hard. It didn't mean that I didn't have challenges in my life, because I did, and I had some pretty big ones. But I decided not to carry that everywhere I go. And so they resented me for that. And the rest of them sent it back just laughing at me. I mean, they had a party on my, at my expense. They're standing in front of the radiology check-in desk and they just laughing at me. And so I walked on down the hall, minding my business. I said, God, give me strength. Cause I had to work with those people every day and I was their timekeeper. It seemed to me, if I'm handling your money, you wouldn't be tormenting the church lady. It seemed to me, because they work shifts. That meant I had to do night differential, had to do call-in pay. It would seem to me you wouldn't bother me. But they did. And I had to keep their time right. Give them every penny, every dime. 1 year later, I came to work. And when I came to work, somebody said, Carolyn, you wanted in the tomography department. So I went over where they did the tomograms. And I opened the door, and there's this banner saying, Carolyn, we appreciate you. There's a big spread of food there. There's a diamond ring there. Given by the technicians who tormented me that day that I came to work. They got a collection up, threw me a party, and I'm standing up there flabbergasted. And they we wanted you to know how much we love you. Let me tell you something. If you pray for your enemy, hey, not curse, but pray for your enemy. The word of God will teach you when you run into the detours on the road, when you run into the hard places on the road, the word of God will help you out of that place and will turn those hearts toward you. But you got to do it God's way. I couldn't do it my way, because my way would have missed a little pain. Oh, I didn't get your call back. I missed that one. Love your enemies, he said. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Because they persecuted me. Because I was a church lady. Now here's the thing. Church lady didn't preach to them. I went in my office and did my job every day. I kept my stuff in the chapel. Unless I was called to pray for a patient or something. But church lady kept it in. When I was in the office, I was on the clock. And I did what I was supposed to while I was on the clock. But they didn't break me down. Because I did what God told me to do. I kept my mouth shut. I'm not saying it felt good. I'm not saying it was a good thing to do. I'm telling you, God has a roadmap for your life. Because he knows when you're going to hit the potholes. He knows when you're going to hit those places in the road that are impassable. He knows when you're going to have to detour. He knows that, and he's given us instruction for that. God has given us instruction for our homes, for our families, people. He's told us to love one another. God commanded the man to love his wife like Jesus loves the church. That's powerful because Jesus does not tear the church down. Jesus only builds her up. Jesus watches out for her. Jesus prays for her. Jesus provides all of her needs. Jesus is the bridegroom of bridegrooms to the church. And God says to the man, love your wife. Then he says to the wife, now honor your husband. Submit to your husband. Ooh, that's an ugly word. But if you will do it God's way, God will change the heart in both of you. God will cause you to see each other the way that you're supposed to. The name calling will stop. All of the bitterness will stop. I didn't say that you wouldn't disagree, but God has a way to work through you, mister, and through you, girl, that will change both of you, will grow you up, will grow both of you up if we just do it his way. There's a roadmap for your life today, church. There's a way for you to get through the things that God has for you. There's a way. There's a way. And if we're willing to hear what God says, if we're willing to obey what God says, so we have to pay close attention to what God says. I think about Joshua chapter 3 when they were about to cross the Jordan River. Joshua was about to bring the children of Israel into the promised land. And so they were going to have to cross the Jordan River. Now, here's the deal. As they were crossing that river was at flood stage. And so God has taken these people and their children across the river at a time when it's flooding. And God has an instruction for them. And so God says, listen, you're going to keep your eyes on the priest. You're going to watch what they do. And you're not going to get so close to them that you overrun them. But you're going to stay far enough back so that you can see which way to go. You got to know where to go. Michael Wells studied those maps. He studied those maps. And once he studied those maps, he knew what to do. And so if we'll hear what God is saying, if we'll hear what he's saying and do what he says, he said, now stay behind them at a certain distance so that you don't run up on them so you can see where they're going. He said, because you've not passed this way before. It's not that you've not raised children before, but God has a word for you. People say, I didn't get a manual with this one. You didn't get a manual with any of them. Notice on you, your mama didn't get a manual for you either. The only manual we have is the Word of God. Word of God. We don't need man write a manual. God's got a word for us. God told us how to train them up. He told us what to teach them. If we'll teach them what God said to teach them, you do your part, God will do his part. Because he said, I'll cause them never to depart. They won't depart from me. They may act like they want to. They may get crazy for a minute. I got crazy. All of us got crazy for a moment. But we're sitting in here today. Why? Because the Word of God impressed upon our hearts in such a way that it brought the change eventually that it will bring. God's Word is going to change us. God's Word is going to change us. We don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to lose sleep over children. We don't have to lose sleep over things that they're doing. We don't have to lose sleep over them. Just believe what God said. Are you doing what God told you to do? And we can't make anybody be anything. But we can tell people and we can show people the way. We guide, we direct our children the way the Holy Ghost guides and directs us. If you notice, God doesn't make you do anything. Oh, church, this year, this year, this year. We're going to be listening for the word of the Lord to us. We're going to be listening to what God is speaking to us. We're going to believe God. We're going to believe God. Am I making sense in here today? We have not passed this way before. None of us have passed this way before. I don't know what this afternoon holds. I don't know what the next hour holds. And you don't either. When we woke up yesterday morning, we found out we had attacked a whole country, that our nation had attacked a whole country and taken the president and his wife. We don't know what else is going on in this crazy world. We have no idea. But we know who holds tomorrow. We know who holds us. We know who's keeping us. And Jesus prayed for us in John chapter 17. Keep them from the evil in this evil world. And God's going to do that. As Regina said when she opened up this morning, you have a part. I have a part. What's our part? Obey the word. Honor God and know that he is God. Honor God and believe that he wants the best for us. That he's greater than all dominions and every power. There is no power greater than the power of God. The Lord is our shepherd and we will not go lacking no matter what the schemes of the enemy are. No weapon formed against the church will prosper. No weapon formed against your home will prosper. No weapon formed against you, the person, will prosper. The weapons will be formed, but they won't prosper. They will come at you, but they won't prosper. Church, the word of God is for our instruction. It's a road map. It shows us how to go, where to go, when to go, what to do, what not to do. And as I said a little bit earlier, the beginning of this chapter says in the last times, these are the things we will experience. And we know that we're living in the last times. We know because we're seeing these things on a grand scale. It's not that these things are new. It's just that it's more of it happening. Nothing is new under the sun. Nothing is new under the sun. But we do know that things get worse as time goes on. And God said it would get worse. So God has a word for how we conduct ourselves in every situation in life. With those that we love, we have 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Tells us how to love each other, how not to be selfish, how not to think of myself, but to think of the other person. And sometimes it would be, if we would just stop and think, how am I making this person feel? What do I want this person to do toward me? If we would just stop, it would stop a lot of things that we say and do to each other. It would just stop a number of things. If we would just consider how it makes me feel when somebody does something to me or harms me with their words, because words hurt. And if I would just stop a moment and think about that, I wouldn't do it anymore. I remember a long time ago, years ago, and it took me years to get over it. But when my husband was growing up, he had a speech impediment. Well, he always had it. But he had mastered it pretty well as he gotten older. But as a kid, he didn't master it so well. And so the kids at school called him Yang Yang. He wasn't even able to start school until he was 7 because he just barely could say his name. In those days, we didn't have speech pathologists and speech therapists. If they did, we didn't have them in Brooklyn. We didn't know about it. Let's put it like that, because I'd be knowing this stuff be happening in other parts of the world that didn't happen in Brooklyn. Okay, so he didn't have a speech therapist. So he was 7 before he started to school because of his speech impediment. And so one day we're arguing. I mean, we were going at it. Tit for tat, tit for tat, tit for tat. And I called him Yang Yang. Oh my God. The look on his face, I never got over it. I never got over hurting him in that way, because that was something that had crippled him as a child. One reason why he didn't hang out with a lot of people is because of his speech impediment. And when I called him Yang Yang, that messed him up, but it broke me too. I thought, God, I can't take it back. I pray that I never say it and say it again. And I didn't say it again, but it took both of us a long time to get past that one argument. Out of all the things we had ever said to each other, that was the thing that was the worst. And so you can't take things back like that. You can't. You don't want to hurt. So why would we hurt? Think about I'm hanging around this stuff because I believe God wants to heal some hearts. I believe God wants to change some things in us. It's like don't do to somebody what you don't want done to you. So read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and see what God says about what love does, the characteristics of love, because love is not selfish. Love is not unkind. It's not unkind. Love does not do to another person what you don't want done to you. So let's think about those things. The word of God is instruction for life. It's instruction for how to live, how to benefit from the life that God has given us. It shows us how to believe God and how to trust God himself. The word of God is all that we need to get through any situation in life, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And so I want to impress upon you today, I don't think I'm going to be able to finish this verse today, because I want to talk to you about each portion of this verse, because God wants us, he wants us complete. He wants us to be people who can walk through this life and have the tools that we need to walk through life. And you're not going to get them from the self-help class. You're not going to get them from the self-help books. It's not going to work. Jesus is the Savior. He's the Redeemer. Man does not have an answer for you. I'm not saying that somebody can't share their testimony with you, but they can. But ultimately, it's Jesus who does the healing. Ultimately, it's Jesus who shows you how to live in your household, how to live and work on your job, how to live in society, how to be what you need to be. It's Jesus that's going to show this man sitting on this front row how to be the mayor over this city and bring the change that God has ordained for this community. It's God who's going to do it. He doesn't have any smarts of his own. He doesn't have anything of his own that's going to turn this community around, but it's God that's going to do it. We can't minister to the people that are going to come through those doors the way we need to until we are where God wants us to be in our own hearts and in our own minds. And when I say that, people who are trusting God, even when everything's not going all right. Sometimes we want everything to be in its place and in order. Whoever told you everything was going to be in order when you had to do what God told you to do? He never told you that. If Paul can be in prison and tell us that he's free, then you can be free. You can be free and you can minister to people from wherever you are. There's no such thing as you getting it all together, because there is no all together except Jesus does it. And until he comes back for us, none of us will be what we're supposed to be. So we're a bunch of people who need each other for sure. A bunch of people who need our God for sure. Amen. And so listen, this Bible is your roadmap for your life. It'll show you where the pitfalls are. It'll show you where the mountains are. It'll show you how to go around the things you need to go around. It'll teach you how to live through the things that you need to live through. Because God's not going to remove everything. Have you noticed that? He's not going to remove everything, and he's not going to take everybody out of your life that you need, that you want to go, because you probably need them to be there till you get strong enough to pray for them. I'm telling you, some of these people need to stay in your life until you grow up. And God is growing us up. Growing pains are a booger, aren't they? My daddy used to say getting old is a blip. Growing pains are a blip. Whatever a blip is. Whatever a blip is, that's what growing pains are. But God is growing us. He's growing us. God, stop kicking against the pricks. Stop trying to pray everybody out of your life. Learn how to navigate through the trouble. Amen. We have a road map. We wouldn't have been on that mountain that night had we paid attention. Regina wouldn't have missed her lunch had we paid attention. We would have had everything that we needed at the time that we needed it. Amen. Father, we thank you right now. Father, I pray that this talk today has been real. I pray that this talk today is helping us, Lord God, to realize, oh God, that we need you. We need your word, and your way and your will is the way that we must go. The way we must go if we're going to be successful in this life. Father, I pray that we would understand and know that if we're going to live the best life really live the best life, then we'll have to live by every word that you speak from your mouth. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that we are helped in here today. In Jesus' name. And we all say amen together. Amen, amen together. Amen. Amen. I'm sorry I went so long, but.